Now, strap yourselves in because we're returning to 1971, the year of Vanishing Point, and rediscovering Monty Hellman's revhead classic Two Lane Blacktop, the choice of filmmaker and current Australian Directors Guild president Ray Argall. The film stars two non-actors, musicians James Taylor and Dennis Wilson. They play two drifters who wander the country in a hotted-up Chevy, making money in drag races. They meet Warren Oates, a big talker with a shiny new Pontiac who wants to race them across the country. He talks the talk, but can he walk the walk? Well, among the testosterone is a young female hitchhiker, Laurie Bird, who takes a ride in both cars. Ray Argall reckons this is a deceptively simple film that runs very deep.
This isn't a film that tells a story with dialogue. There's no running plot that's coming through the dialogue, through what the characters are saying to each other. And yet it's very rich. I guess you'd say the subtext is just bubbling away the whole time. And that's why I say it's pure cinema, because it's about pictures, sounds, and the way they're edited together. It's interesting that the one character who does talk the most, Warren Oates, who's called the GTO, when he's talking, he's making up his stories as he goes. As you know, like everything he says is based on almost what has immediately happened to him. It changes the whole time. There's no, if you're looking at truth in terms of what a character is, there isn't any truth there really.
It's a mighty fancy automobile. I bought her in Bakersfield, California.
I was testing jets at the time. Well, it got so I wasn't getting enough action on the ground. You know what I mean.
You never really think he's kind of going to win the race against these two younger guys, whether the race has an end or not.
Yeah.
You're kind of always thinking he's going to be the loser here. And it's kind of sad because he's trying so hard and he has so much bluster.
Yeah, no, that's right. I think that Warren Oates has this sense in his character that he's really trying to find friends and people that he can relate to. And these two young guys and the girl, well, they haven't got to that stage yet where they've had to think about that too much. But there's a few interesting points where they stop by the side of the road and they say, okay, bet's off. And at first you think Dennis Wilson's actually, you know, pulling his card a bit so that it'll run even worse. But in actual fact, there's a camaraderie that builds up there that, you know, they stop and they have a drink by the side of the road.
You've been doing this much? A little, yeah.
The conventions of racing get thrown out of the window, really, don't they, in favour of this camaraderie?
Well, it's like they say, okay, well, we're going to have a recess now. We're just going to stop for 2 hours. We'll go to the next town and we'll pick it up again there. And in that meantime, there's a bit of discussion and then they get to meet each other's cars, which is, you know, relevant to them. And I guess they're learning, is there a friendship here? And it's almost like this film is digging into the process of the journey, the process of existentialism when you're actually in the middle of something and trying to work out, who am I, what am I doing, where am I going?
What does it mean, yeah?
You know, all those big questions. I mean, there are no answers given in this film, but I think the process of doing this and the whole thing is it's about the subtext of how they're relating to each other. You know, James Taylor sitting there doing nothing, seemingly with that very strong stoic look, and yet you're watching it and you're sort of feeling all these things bubbling underneath and you're questioning, is winning the race really important to him? And you're saying, no, I don't know that it is. And he's obviously really interested in the girl, but he's also searching for something else. So, you know, but these are questions, and I think that's what this film does so effectively, is it asks a whole lot of questions in a very sort of subtle, gentle way. There's a celebration here about being on the road. You know, the locations and the way they're captured and photographed is just beautiful. You see an America that I can relate to, you know, as I might relate to a journey going between Melbourne and Adelaide or something. You know, I can see a journey that where you stop off in these tiny little places where there's just one garage or service station and you know, there are people who live there. And this is, you get a flavour of this. And I really see that love of their landscape, if you like, and the way it evolves from going from West Coast to East Coast.
Is this a game?
I don't know. Not yet.
Why couldn't you make this film today?
These days, to get a film financed, you have to tick a lot of boxes. you know, there are a lot of people coming into the process before you actually even get onto set who are passing judgment on what is on the page. Now, what was on the page with Two Lane Blacktop would have been fairly sparse. And I think that there are very few people who are courageous enough to take a risk. And let's face it, you know, these films are a risk. And I think there are also problems with people reading scripts and being able to see, this is what it is on the page. When it's on screen, it could be this. Because the script of Two Lane Blacktop and what you see on screen is are two different things. I mean, the film is very much a piece of cinema. And it only becomes a piece of cinema by the process of going through and making it.
Filmmaker Ray Argall talking about Two Lane Blacktop. And that's Movie Time for this week. Next week, we have got a ripper of a show for you, dedicated entirely to trash cinema. Schlocky horrors, badly executed special effects, jumpsuits. Films that are so bad, they're good. Be sure to tune in. You know it makes sense. I'm Jason DiRosso, signing off until then. See ya.